The scripture today is actually on the cover of your bulletin. It's actually on the cover of your bulletin. Very famous scripture. Pull your bulletins out there, and let's read this scripture together, okay? Let's read this scripture together as our focus today, our emphasis today is on prayer. So looking at the cover of your bulletin, please read with me. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And may the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word. A couple of weeks ago, I was at an annual conference, and I'd be at annual conference all day, sitting in meetings all day, and then I'd come back to the hotel. And after sitting in meetings all day at annual conference, I'd need a little encouraging. So I got into the Word, and I took some books with me. One of the books I took with me was called Praying the Bible by Donald S. Whitney, and it really blessed me. And even as I was reading it, it's a relatively short book, I think just over 100 pages or so. But as I was reading it, I thought, man, I just have to share this with the church, some of the blessings that I'm receiving out of this. And so today's going to be a different kind of sermon. It's going to be a little bit of a different kind of sermon. I want to give you a tool today that can greatly improve your Christian walk. Indeed, I believe it can greatly improve your relationship with the Lord. Well, first let me talk a little bit about the problem, which I struggled with and struggle with. And I'm sure many people here do, and then we will talk about the solution. Since prayer is talking to God, now stop and think about that. Prayer is talking to God. Why don't we pray more? Why don't Christians enjoy prayer more? So often, Christians will say, I don't feel like praying. And when we do pray, we tend to say the same old things about the same old things. And when you've said the same old things about the same old things about 1,000 times, how do you feel about saying them again? You're bored. You're bored. We can be talking, and we are, to the most fascinating, interesting, amazing, awesome person, if you can scale God down to that term, talking to the most fascinating, awesome person in the universe about the most important things in our lives, and we can be bored to death. And so many Christians conclude, well, you know, there must be something wrong with me. They think, you know, if I got bored with something as important as prayer, then there's just something wrong with me in my walk. I must be a second-rate Christian. How can we get bored with God talking about the things that are most important to us? Is it because we don't love God? Is it because we don't love the people we're praying for? Or we don't care about the things that we're praying about? I think the problem is, if the Holy Spirit is within us, and the Holy Spirit is within each of us, if we have accepted Christ, I think the problem oftentimes can be our method, if you will, of prayer. No method is going to enliven prayer if the person isn't indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Such a person's not going to have an appetite for prayer. But when the Holy Spirit indwells a person, when that person accepts Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within them, and the Holy Spirit brings with him and imparts to every believer some common longings. You have these longings within you if you know Christ as your Savior. You have these longings within you, whether you are 9 years old or whether you're 90 years old. You have these longings within you because you have the Holy Spirit within you. We long. We long to live in a body, in a world that does not tempt us. We long for that. We long to live in fellowship with other believers. We long to see Jesus face to face. And we long for an intimate relationship with the Lord in prayer. Again, a person can be nine or 90, but if they're in a relationship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit's within them, they're going to have the same common longings. The 9-year-old will express it differently than the 90-year-old, but the longings are going to be the same. So we can long for the Lord, but still find prayer boring. Even 5 or 6 minutes of prayer can sometimes seem so long. I've shared this with you before. I've read studies. The average pastor, apart from some perfunctory prayer, I would imagine, in terms of sermon preparation, the average pastor prays 2 minutes a day. 2 minutes a day. We can pray for just a few minutes, and then our minds wander all over the place, and then we drift off, and then we snap to and think, now, where was I? What was I praying about? And we think, you know, if my prayers are boring to me, are they boring to God? Does God really need to hear me say these things? I read a story the other day. Pastor was in church conducting the service. The offering was taken up. The ushers came forward to deposit, if you will, the offering. And the pastor had asked one of the ushers ahead of time, please pray over the offering. And so they came forward, they handed the pastor the offering plates, and then the usher began to pray. And so the pastor, he closed his eyes, you know, and started to listen to the prayer. And as he started to listen to the prayer, he heard a noise. And he thought, well, that's rude. Somebody in the congregation is talking at the same time the usher here is praying. And so, he didn't want to look up and give the person an evil eye or anything. So he just thought, well, I'll keep my eyes closed. But it kept going. It just kept going. And he finally realized that what was going on, he was hearing someone in the congregation echo exactly at the same time, echo what the usher was praying. And that was curious to him. So he opened up his eyes and he looked back and he looked at the 5-year-old son of that usher. And that 5-year-old son of that usher was praying the exact same prayer that the usher was praying. How did he know the words? Because that's the only prayer Dad ever prayed. Dad prayed that prayer at the dinner table. Dad prayed that prayer, whenever he prayed, whatever public occasions, when that 5-year-old heard his father. And so that 5-year-old, who was only 60 months old, think about that, he'd already memorized everything that Dad said when he prayed. To the little boy, it was just a repetition of empty phrases. There may be somebody you know, and when they start to pray, you know what's coming because you've heard it so many times. Our hearts don't soar when we hear such prayers. We just kind of politely endure it. Prayers without variety soon become words without meaning. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 6:7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. So we can believe in prayer, and the Holy Spirit literally is prompting us to pray, but because we say the same old things about the same old things, it can seem like we're just heaping up empty phrases. It drains our motivation for talking to the Lord. And even though we try and grind through it, our minds wander and we condemn ourselves as spiritual failures. Listen now, the problem is not that we pray about the same old things. I could close my eyes and call a couple of you from either side of the congregation. I could call you up here, and I could ask you to lead us in prayer. And you would come up here, and you would audibly, publicly lead us in a very similar prayer. You'd be praying about the same things. Because that's just the way we are. Most of us pray in our prayers about our families. Most of us pray in our prayers about our futures. Sometimes we pray about our finances. We pray about some crisis in our lives and some Christian concern about the church or some ministry. We have those things in common. I find myself sometimes using the same words, and it gets old real quick. Again, the problem is not what we pray, but that we say the same thing all the time about these things. Once a person is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they're not going to give up prayer, because the Bible says the Spirit causes us to cry, Abba, Father. And He'll continue to help us look up to the Lord. And maybe we hear a sermon or read a book, and it gets us charged up, and for a little while we make a greater effort in prayer. But soon we find ourselves once again saying the same things we always have, and we find ourselves back in the same rut. So is there a solution? And if so, it has to be a simple solution, because God has children all over the world as different as people can be. God has children in the world who are young, who are old, who have high and low IQs, high and low incomes. So what's the solution that all of God's children can grab onto? Here's the solution. If you have trouble praying, if you are stuck in a routine of saying the same old things, do this. When you pray, pray through a passage of Scripture, particularly a psalm. Pray through a passage of Scripture, particularly a psalm. Let me give you an example. Do this off the top of my head. Psalm 23. You have your Bibles with you. Open up to that. Psalm 23. If you're feeling stuck and you're repeating phrases and using the same words, and so your prayer life, quite frankly, is becoming boring and uninteresting, here's what you do. Pray God's Word. The Word of God will lead you, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and prompt you in what to pray as you read God's Word. Make the Word of God the foundation of your prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I'm going to pray this, okay? Lord, I come to you and I am troubled. I'm not quite sure which way to turn. I'm not quite sure what path to take. I have exhausted all of my resources. I don't know what to do, but you are my shepherd. You are the one who is guiding me. So, Lord, I just ask that you do guide me. I lack nothing because you have provided me with everything I need, so I can trust you in that regard. So, Lord, I need your guidance. And perhaps if a relative of yours, a loved one of yours or something, is struggling with something, and then perhaps they're off the path or whatever, you can say, you, Lord, are my shepherd. Oh, Lord, please reveal yourself to them as their shepherd. May they turn to you and let you lead them. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Oh, Lord, I come to you and I'm anxious and I'm upset and I'm worried and nervous about these things and what I'm going to face tomorrow or what I'm afraid might happen to me. But, Lord, Sheep, we know they're such skittish animals. They're animals of such fear, and it is so hard for the sheep to relax. But Lord, when the sheep trust the shepherd, they literally will lie down in the green pastures. They are defenseless, but they will feel so safe that they will lie down in the green pastures. You will lead them beside the quiet waters. Lord, I am asking that you do that for me. I need this calmness. I need this peace that only you can give. I need the assurance that comes from knowing that I am on the right path. Oh Lord, I need my soul to be refreshed Lord, I need this right now. Or my loved one needs this right now. And so I'm ending up, you see, I'm praying for the same things I'm always praying for. I'm praying for my own spiritual well-being. I'm praying for my loved one's spiritual well-being. But I'm doing it in a way that is grounded and found foundationally from the bottom up. Its basis is God's word. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Lord, I have a decision to make, and I'm not sure which way I need to go. Lord, I want to know that you are leading me in the right way. I want to know that I am on the right path. And Lord, I want to know that not only for myself, and I do oftentimes pray this. I pray, Lord, as a pastor, I need to be on the right path, and other people need to see that I'm on the right path, but other people need to see that we're all, as God's children, on the right path, not only for our sake, but for his name's sake, for the sake of the Lord's name, because he is glorified when we walk according to his precepts and statutes and his word. He's glorified when we are going in the right way for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, many of you will recognize that passage, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though, Lord, I am in the midst of this difficult time, this time when it seems like all the forces of hell are arrayed against me, and where it seems like, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this mess. Yet, Lord, I will, in the midst of this, I will trust you and I will fear no evil, because I know you are with me and you are greater than any evil that is arrayed against me. And just like the shepherd has his implements, things that his tools that help him look after the sheep, his rod and his staff, and the sheep are comforted by seeing those things. So, Lord, I am comforted as I reflect upon your great power and how you are well able. You have in the past, and you will right now lead me through this situation and keep me safe. It comforts me, Lord, to know and reflect on how great you are, and you can handle anything that comes before me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who, when they are in the midst of a battle, would sit down at a table? Who would do that? Only someone who is absolutely convinced of the outcome, that God's got it. And David here is saying through the Holy Spirit, got all these things against me. We may feel like that sometimes. I got all these things against me. I'm going to rest in the middle of this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of everything that's coming against me. You've got this, Lord. You've got this, Lord. And I am trusting you. You anoint my head with oil. That's a picture of healing. When they had a cut or something like that, a sheep did, the shepherd would put oil on that cut. And so, Lord, you are bringing healing to me. You're bringing healing to my loved one and what they're going through right now. My cup overflows. When I think about how you have blessed me, when I think about how you have sustained me, when I think about how truly, even when I didn't recognize it, you have always been with me, my cup of blessing has truly overflown. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, by the end of this prayer, as you have taken your time, and I've kind of gone through it rather quickly, but as you take your time and as you reflect on how God has blessed you, how God has been with you, how God has strengthened and sustained you in the past, you have faith built up, and you recognize and you understand God's going to do that in the future too. God's going to take me safely to the end of my life. And at some point, I'm going to go, and his goodness and his mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, God will be with me. And he will strengthen and sustain me until I see him face to face. When you approach and just simply pray through this psalm, and take your time, by the end of it, you will find faith is being built, courage is being instilled, and you will have the peace of God upon your heart. When you use this method, you're still going to be praying about the same things. You're going to be praying for your own needs, for your loved ones' needs, but you're not going to be using the same words. Read the psalm through and talk to God about whatever the Holy Spirit prompts in you as you read. You will never, ever run out of things to talk about and to pray about when you pray the Bible. And when you pray using the Bible, your prayers will include inspired, infallible words, because you're talking to God in His words. When we bring God's own words into our prayer, we're bringing God's power into our praying. John 6:63 says this. Jesus said, "These words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." So when you pray God's words, you are praying words of spirit and life. And it is much easier to stay focused when you pray this way. I was speaking with someone after the first service, and they said, man, they were having a hard time staying focused because they pray at night. They go home, they lie down in bed at the end of the day, and then they begin to pray. Well, it's hard to pray when you're at the end of the day and you're tired and you're lying in bed, okay? We oftentimes struggle with focus in our prayers, and oftentimes we'll nod off, or we will go, our minds will take us in another path entirely, and then at some point we're like, wait a minute, what was I praying about? Where was I, Lord? Help me out here. And if your mind starts to wander when you're praying God's word, you simply go on to the next verse and your mind will focus on what it is you're just reading. When you use the scripture to guide you in praying, you'll find that your prayers will be more about God and less about you. For instance, in the 23rd Psalm that we read there, a lot of my comments kind of made off the top of my head, they were about the attributes of a shepherd. The attributes of a shepherd who is a representation of God. So I started thinking about and reflecting upon God and God's great power and how God takes care of us and all those things. When we pray God's word, we will reflect more upon the attributes of God and less about us. Your prayers will focus more on God's attributes, and it will be as if God is initiating the conversation with you. You won't have to think of things to say. You'll just be responding to what God is saying in His Word. When you pray using the Word of God, you'll have a greater assurance that you're praying God's will, because the words originated with God. And so, I encourage you, and the tool that I want to give to you today is to pray. And pray the Word of God. Your bulletins have within them a sheet. I don't know if they're all, I think probably are, they're all green. What this is a simple little suggested reading guide. And it gives you the day of the month, and then it gives you suggested psalms, and you don't have to use all of them every day, but it gives you suggested psalms that can be used to spur prayer. For instance, today is the 23rd day of June, and so we have Psalm 23 that we used, as well as other psalms that are suggested. This is front and back, by the way, so if you, they're on both sides if you need to find the particular day. Use God's word as the foundation of your prayer life. Why did I find this so enriching for myself? Because I tend to pray the same thing a lot of times, using the same words. God bless my family. Bless them, draw them closer to you. God, help us at church with this or that. I pray the same things, using the same words, and even though I'm talking to Almighty God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, I don't want to hear myself saying the same things over and over and over again. And I'm not sure God wants to hear it as well. He knows our hearts, and so he knows when we're praying sincerely. But yet, when we pray using God's word, we can pray with so much more power and so much more authority and so much more confidence, knowing that we are praying the will of God. God desires intimate communication with us. God desires intimate communion with us. God desires consistent, intimate communication and communion with us. Use his word. His word is a path to his heart, and it will lead to power in prayer. Use his word, folks. And you can not only use the Psalms, but you can use most any scripture that you happen to be reading that day. Use God's word to spur your prayer life. It can revolutionize the way you talk to our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is, among other things, our prayer guide. May we use it. May we use it to pray to you our hearts. And more importantly, may we use it to pray your heart to you in prayer. Help us to be a people, individual followers of Christ, and a church, Lord, that has power in prayer. Power based upon who you are and based upon your infallible, marvelous word. May we be a people of prayer. And so, Lord, as we prepare to close now, and as we go now, Lord, may the world see you and us, and may the world see that we have intimacy with you and power in prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open, and the invitation is always given at the conclusion of every service. And if you'd like to come and just spend a season in prayer, and perhaps calling out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a closer walk with you. I need more intimacy with you. The altar's open. Invitation given.